morning. I am Andrea Ritter with the Wonder Health Podcast, and I am here today with Debbie Kennison, and she has just launched the next iteration of Self and Soul and what she's offering the world, which is amazing, and it is Goddess Awakening Institute.
Yes, ma'am.
What in the name of the world is this transformational business?
Well,
concept.
You know, I know, right? It's all about the goddess right now. I mean, it's time for women and it's time for us to wake up. And I really felt like if I didn't have Institute, for some reason, Institute's been in my brain. And I think it's just because there's that little scholar inside of me that continues to learn. And I think we all need to continue to learn. So I just thought, Institute needs to go at the end of Goddess's Awakening.
Yes.
So Goddess Awakening Institute, and it's close to Gaia. Not quite. I need an A at the end. I don't know. Goddess Awakening Institute. Alive. I don't know.
We are alive. Why are you called to do this work? And you know, what has your journey been?
That's a great question. I'm a woman, and I have been through Me Too, Us Too. I don't think, you know, honestly, being a dancer, that was my primary form of language for many years. It was the only language I knew. I didn't have words to put to how I felt. I didn't have a way to communicate with other people other than through dance. And it's a beautiful language.
Yes.
But it was still hard to translate how I felt to people. And I felt like I needed to give a voice to those women who didn't dance, who needed words, but couldn't still communicate how they were feeling. And so actually when my partner and I started our goddess movement 3 years ago, we saw this hole of women who couldn't accept compliments, no matter what you said to them, who couldn't own who they were, who couldn't step into their power, and who literally were in pain.
What is that? What is that in us? We don't come into the world with that, or do we?
No.
Are we conditioned? Like, well, what is that that we can't accept?
Right.
Love and compliments about who we are.
Right. It is interesting because we are born with some, not karmic. We do have karmic, I believe we have some karmic threads, but we also do take on our parents, our mothers' feelings, mood, emotions, traumas.
Mm-hmm.
That gets transmuted into us as babies.
There's no responsibility with that, with our children.
I know, right? Exactly. And so knowing that, I mean, it's a pathology that exists in families. There's a certain pathology that exists that it's a pattern that repeats, right?
Wow.
It takes three generations typically to erase that. And seeing,
dear Lord.
Right? And seeing the pain that I knew both my grandmothers and my mother went through, I don't know. I don't know why, but I just felt like there had to be a better way.
And so you would be that third generation.
I am the
third generation.
So grandma's
one, mama's two, you're the third. And so you're eradicating whatever that generational wiring or that hard wiring in your DNA.
Yeah. And then I was gifted with this beautiful daughter that decided to become, she studied art, but she also took a minor in women's studies. And it honestly wasn't until she started teaching me and almost just giving me permission and validating me and saying like, no, you're not crazy. This is
happening. Wow.
And from there, it was just like, I had permission and I just took it to the, you know, without, well, no, I have picketed. but you know, to actually start to give women a voice and to actually start to heal the pain that they're going through and to recognize and to see women, to hear women, to allow them to step fully into who they are with, you know, you don't need permission to do that.
I love that.
So that's where it was born out of. It was almost just like, let's give everybody a language. And maybe it is dance, maybe it is whatever. But, you know, I can't leave the body out of the equation. In
right.
other words, whatever I do, the body has to be a part of it. And let's face it, that's a warehouse. This is a right. warehouse for all my traumas, all of my feelings, everything. Yeah. There's some of that stuff I don't want to store. I don't want to keep
yeah.
to myself anymore. I want to give it a voice and get it out into the world.
So is that possible? So is that true healing on a cellular level possible? If I carry a generational trauma,
right.
it could be, you know, I mean, for example, my people are Jewish and Black. So holy yeah. shit, that's a double
whammy.
GD whammy.
Seriously.
And so like this is, I'm 43. This is just yeah. coming to me. So for example, I know that I'm that third generation. I have to get this out of my system because I feel like I'm carrying things that don't belong to me.
That's exactly.
I mentally know that they're not mine, but it's like I've been cutting the cord cellularly for like probably the last 20 years
yes.
and I'm at the place where I'm like, okay, I'm absolutely done.
Yeah.
How do I change these patterns in my life?
Absolutely. And I don't know if you're familiar with the term. It is somewhat of a feminist term, but it's the emotional labor.
And I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So women truly, we've been doing it for years, but yeah, take you for example, Jewish, Black, and that emotional labor that you have been doing for all the women behind you.
And
right?
I forgot the Native American.
The,
holy crap
well,
on that.
Look, I mean, everybody has their journey. But
right.
to be white woman and privileged is like, you know, not a good thing.
But at the same time,
the
I
same
feel like
time.
A lot of people are, I mean, that's a whole other podcast. But
oh,
like people are like, you're white. You have this great thing. And on one level, yes. So there's things that as a white person, sure. And
right.
honestly, like I have never been discriminated against or I don't, that's just not the realm I live in.
Right.
I don't even go there. It's not
right.
that, I mean, so I get that. And I think that people generally are unfair in a lot of ways to go all white people.
Well,
you know,
it's, we're all racist. So we, yeah. you know, we like
yeah.
to label and we like to,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
point the fingers and blame things. But I think that it's time, just like you said, to on a cellular level, to get really clear about what it is that we no longer have to own anymore.
Yeah.
And that we no longer have to apologize for. I think, I know every single thought that we think towards the good or the bad is going to shift our DNA. And knowing now that it is absolutely possible to change your DNA by changing the way you think, there's no question that you can actually change on a cellular level. So, I mean, and I see it when I have stepped up and done what I have done, you know, talked about the sexual harassments and allegations and abuse that's happened in my life. And to even just give that a voice, I see now how it's given my mother permission to release her.
Oh, that gives me the chills.
And then, you know, my grandmother's no longer alive. But, you know, the healing that happens around just speaking your truth, phenomenal. Phenomenal. So you are making changes that you aren't even fully aware of that your daughter will reap.
Well, we can only pray. I mean,
oh,
you know, I believe in past lives and this is the only one I'm living right now. I do feel like we come in with certain levels of energies.
Yeah.
We bring it. So we work that out. Like
right.
this new generation of kids though, here again, that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like with my kids, it's like, I don't think that they've necessarily incarnated before. I think that I'm sure they have their stuff, but their energy is so different and it's so much lighter that like,
yeah.
I mean, they're still punks. Like I love these guys and they still act a fool.
Right.
But
right.
it's like a different thing than like what I came in with.
I think, you know, it's, I would agree with you on that. My kids, I mean, my son, he's working it out in this lifetime.
And how old are your kids?
So 25 and 23.
Okay.
And my son went through his difficulties. And, you know, he as a friend so beautifully reminded me, she said, he chose you and he chose this path. This was part of his path. But he matured leaps and bounds over what his friends did because of what he went through.
Yeah.
And the whole family, our family grew because of that experience. We became more real, more authentic.
Wow.
We realized what really mattered. You know, it wasn't the cars we drove. It wasn't all of those outer things. It was the inner world that mattered the most, which just confirmed everything I had felt my whole life. Like, you got to go within, and that's what's most important. So that whole journey taught us so much. And my daughter, yeah, she feels the heaviness sometimes of what women have had to bear and what they still have to bear. But for the most part, she does it with a sense of humor, and she has great levity. And it's reflected in her artwork. There's a heaviness to it, but there's a childlike.
And we need that.
Oh, we so need
that. We need that perspective of, I, you know, am not dragging around this burden.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, you can see that on people's faces. Like, go to the grocery store and you can look at people and you can see, you can hear what they're saying. You can smell them. You can, like, it's pretty phenomenal what we carry energetically.
Oh man.
It's wild.
Man.
So we need that lightness that your kids, my kids, bring to the situation. And frankly, you know, as we adult, and we, you know, people of my generation, your generation, and before us, you know, as we become these adults, even though,
right.
like, what the hell does that mean?
I know, right?
And it feels so heavy, and it's the coming of age, and the taking care of parents, and oh shit, I've got to vote, and oh my God, my world, and
oh yeah,
and it's like all so heavy, and it's like, how do you balance that with that lightness? And I think there's just so much to remember about humor and laughter, and like, it's not all that deep. And
yeah.
So that's what you do with your work. And so you talk about the movement and the breath. How can we begin to change ourselves with movement and breath and thoughts in the work that you are helping people to do?
Well, I would say, I don't know if you've ever heard of integral theory.
No.
Or integral theory, depending on if you're British or not.
And I love the Brits.
Yeah, the integral theory. But integral theory is based on that basically every one of us has four facets to our being, right? There's the inner I, there's the outer I, there's the inner we, the collective, and the outer we. And when it comes to those four quadrants, I mean, you know, if you take four quadrants, put them together, it makes a square, which we don't want to be square. We want to be whole. But basically, we want to pay attention to all facets of ourselves, our inner self, and how we relate to the outer world. And what I've learned over the years of teaching meditation is that meditation is awesome. It gets us breathing. You know, it tries to get us centered. But my experience was that it was hard to just sit. And I know that that's the purpose for a lot of, you know, yogis and yoginis. It's like, yeah, it's hard to just sit. But until you bring the body into that equation, I feel like we're missing a piece of that puzzle. And because we are so disconnected from our bodies, I see everybody's like little head bubbles just moving around and they're all worrying. And like you said, you can tell they're not in their bodies. And it's because maybe the body's in pain or they just want to deny how they're feeling. I mean, you know, it's not okay to feel your feelings in this world right now. And so I think you have to bring the body, in my mind, you have to bring the body back into the equation and sync those up. And if you're not breathing, your brain says, this person is not safe and I cannot relax until I know they are breathing well. Not just breathing, but breathing well, because there's passive breathing and there's active breathing. It's paying attention to how we're actually living and utilizing this vessel. You know, it's kind of like if I said to you, how did you get here today? You drove a car, right? So that's your vehicle. And I'm guessing that you take care of that vehicle Like you have to monitor the tire pressure. You have to pay attention when those little lights come on, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably the bad person to talk to you about taking care of a car. But in general, yes, you should.
But you know when something goes yeah. wrong, right? When the car breaks down. Yeah. You know, Christiane Northrup said it best. You cannot have a breakthrough till you have a breakdown.
Isn't that the truth?
So we don't pay attention.
Because who wants to have a breakdown?
Right. No, breakdowns are inconvenient. No. Yeah, they're expensive. They, you know, they piss you off. They're, not good. But it's our vehicle. It's how we get around. And so I don't feel like we pay enough attention to it. Most of us do take better care of our cars than we do our bodies and our minds and our souls. So absolutely passionate about that. So if it's just being aware, it's like when you get into your car, look at all the lights that are on. Do you need gas? Do you need fuel?
Yeah.
You know, are your tires pumped up? Are you feeling like, okay, this structurally, this car is good. You know, it's safe. That's, it's a great metaphor for our bodies.
Yeah,
how things are running, and we need that to get from point B to point B. And hopefully, in this life, it's an ascension, right? It's not just.
So we start with breath.
Breath. Start with and really, actually, if you back it up even further, start with exactly where you are, exactly how you are, and just closing our eyes and just sitting for 1 minute and just tune in, do a little body scan and see, like, how am I breathing? What are my thoughts? You know, am I playing that constant loop? I thought it was really interesting. You know how many original thoughts or thoughts somebody has in a day, an average person in a daytime?
20,000.
Close. 20 to 40,000.
That's insane.
Thoughts a day, right? Do you know how many of those are either original to you or are positive thoughts?
100.
3.
Shut up.
No.
So the thoughts, I think, are coming from outside sources a lot of time.
Criticism, judgment, negative thoughts, worry. Associating with pain.
And then how many of those are, it's like you've had those five thoughts, and then how many times do you have those five thoughts over the day?
Exactly. Right. Like if we took that one positive thought and repeated that over and over again, which is basically what a mantra is, right? It's just reminding us of what we have and what we're capable of. But yeah, no, those are pretty abysmal statistics. So knowing that, if we don't just stop our brain in its tracks and tune in and just say, okay, where am I right now? And what am I thinking? And how am I feeling? You know, I remember when I was doing the Franklin Method and Eric Franklin said, the way you think, the way you move, and the way you feel are not three separate things.
Wow.
And I, you know, say it again, the way you think, the way you move, and the way you feel are not three different things.
So you use that in the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you moving? You know, does it feel good to move? I mean, it's actually a very interesting thing. One of our challenges in our training was go up and ask somebody in the grocery store, how is your spine today? How is your spine today?
And I'm sure they looked at you like you were insane.
Yeah. And also the answer was, I got pain.
Oh.
8 out of 10 people.
Wow.
Told me that they're in a lot of pain and they have issues with their spine, their tissues, you know, going down the leg, all that stuff. Again, not very good statistics. And so, you know, we got, talk about like Walking Dead. We could just film that without all the zombie makeup.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's like out there. It feels like. So, I mean, it was like, this has got to stop.
It does have to stop. And you know what? It has to stop. It's like people with resources. I mean, we're all in the same world together. So all of these people, like, it doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you have, all these things.
Right.
You could be in this category of the Walking Dead. And I love that. And God knows that's true for so many. What can we do? I mean, I do feel like at this time in our evolution, we are in an ascension process. Oh, yeah. And through the ascension, it's like what you said. What did Christiane Northrup say?
Yeah, you got to have the breakdown to have the breakthrough.
So I think on a planetary intergalactic scale, I don't know about the rest of the galaxy, but this planet, we are having an absolute breakdown.
Yeah.
And people want to blame it on, frankly, Donald Trump. He is not our problem. Right. He's part of this picture, but we all play a role. We are all part of the problem. We are all part of the solution. Yeah. And so it's not one person, a political party, this, that, and the other. It's like, this is an inside job and we are responsible. We are walking around in this haze, and I get it. We've been conditioned. We might've had a hard childhood, yada, yada, yada. I mean, we're back to our generational stuff we're carrying around.
Yeah.
But it is our responsibility to wake up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're helping people wake up to transform their lives, to change this world.
Right.
Is what you're really doing.
That's exactly. I mean, Donald Trump is just a mirror for the rest of us.
Amen.
For that.
Bless him and me.
Shadow side, right? And that's why I felt so called to call it the Goddess Awakening. And look, I mean, gods need to wake up too. Warriors, whatever you want to call them. But because I'm a woman, that's who I identify as, right? That's my cisgender. But that's who I identify as. And so that's my people. That's who I am going to try and help the most. But boy, there's a lot of walking wounded men out there too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the patriarchy has also victimized them.
Yes.
And to get them to see that too. So yeah, I mean, the awakening, we are in the throes of it. And to help people, this is my way of helping people through that process.
I love that. Yeah, so simply, we first step is sit and listen to your thoughts, feel your body.
Yeah.
See if you're breathing.
Yeah.
Because
without judgment, without saying, I have to fix this. Just like, okay, I'm going to use the car analogy again, but you know, your GPS system needs to know where you are.
Yes.
Right now. And this is where you want to go to give you directions. It's a great metaphor because you have to know where you are right now and tell the truth about that.
Right.
To be really honest about, I'm not happy. I don't feel well. That's fine. But do you want to stay there?
Right.
If you're happy staying there, then just stay there. Don't change a thing. But if I can go inward and start with where I am and say, okay, yeah, I'm not really breathing well. So I got some choices here. I could think better thoughts. That would help. I can move. I can breathe. Those would all three make me feel better. And then it becomes, you know, how do I do that? What can I do? And I think that's where, you know, the biggest thing is where people get hung up is I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Boy, just start with, you know, take a breath in, let it go. Like if you can just do that.
Yes.
You know, I've had people they can't move their arms and their legs, quadriplegics. Yes. Damn sure they can still breathe for the most part, even if you're on a breathing apparatus.
Yeah.
You can still, the mind is still fully aware that you can connect.
Yes.
And that you can focus on your breathing. So there's always the possibility that we can do better. We can think better. We can feel better. I mean, I think that's something that we forgot is we can change. We have all the tools we need. We can change. That's the best news ever.
Yeah.
I can change. I can change even 1% or one thought or, you know, lift my pinky, whatever it is.
What does the power of the breath do to change your reality?
Oh my gosh. It's trans... There are no fewer than, I could probably, let's see if I can list off more than 6 benefits of breathing, right? Improved cellular function, improved organ function. Your brain is an organ, so it's going to improve your thoughts. It also tells your brain that you're safe. So most of us walk around in a chronic state of tension, which eventually is going to lead to illness or injury, right?
There's no way around that.
Yeah, we overthink, we overact, we overdo everything. It takes far less energy to live than what we have actually put into it. So breathing tells your brain you're safe. So now I can release tension. Breathing will improve your posture. It'll improve your digestion. It'll actually improve your detoxification system. Your breath out is your primary detox system in your body. Sweating also helps, which is why when you work out, you combine that, you know, heavy breathing with sweating. Perfect.
Even more so than excreting poop. I mean, sorry, yeah. I'm trying to be PC.
No, right. I know. But what people don't realize is that if you improve your digestion and you improve your detoxification system, you absolutely are improving the function of your stools moving through your body, right? And then also your kidneys. Kidneys play a huge role in all of those same factors because of where they're located, right? And your adrenals are sitting right on top of your kidneys.
And we don't even talk about the kidneys unless someone has a disease or diabetes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like we ignore that.
Yeah. I can actually help relieve back pain 50% of the time just by working with people's kidneys.
Now, are you doing this energetically or are you touching them?
I'm doing a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. And giving them some tools that they can use. Tapping. And kidneys love heat. They love vibration. They love sound, singing.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. The human body is absolutely, the more you know about it, the more fascinating in my world, the more fascinating it becomes.
Yeah.
We have vastly underestimated the capability of all of this. Vastly underestimated.
I love this.
Grossly underestimated the possibility that exists. I mean, this is, as you sit here, this is pure potential, limitless, beyond your imagination.
Well, and with that, there is nothing else I need to say.
You are just going to go fulfill your potential, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is amazing. And this is not the last time we will have a conversation.
I hope not.
And so say it again. Say it again so our friends can hear and they can feel the power of what you said and they can know that they have the power to heal their lives.
Yeah, you do. Even the smallest of changes, right? Just by closing your eyes, turning your attention inward, that's a change. You just shifted your focus from the outer world to the inner world. From there, you are limitless. You are full. I mean, as you sit, as you breathe, as you, think your thoughts, you are pure potential. Absolutely. I mean, my cells, I can feel them vibrate. If you just say to yourself, I am limitless, I am pure potential, you can just feel your cells go, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to bubble to the surface,
yes.
Right? Like, it is fascinating. And that's your nervous system responding to your higher vibration. It desperately wants that. And it desperately needs you to wake up and to realize.
Well, that's what we were created to be and to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Fulfill that potential. Like, believe, but you, yeah, just, God, start with where you are and then just know you can change. You do change. Like, think about it this way. You eat a meal and you're full, right? Do you stay full for the rest of your life, the rest of the day? For, 2 hours? No, you get hungry again. So your body changed. Something changed, right? I was hungry and I'm not. That you change all the time. We're not even aware of those little changes. I was, alert, I was awake, and now I'm sleeping, I'm tired. You changed. But we don't even recognize that, I did change and I can change. And those changes can become even more profound.
If you get involved with your own life.
To acknowledge the changes that you go through and realize that that's all for your highest good.
A to the men.
Right?
Where can we find you, Debbie, if we want to just dig deeper and maybe need some assistance, no matter where we are on our journey?
Exactly. So if you go to balancepointtherapy.net,
okay,
people can reach me on there. I'm just on Facebook right now with Goddess Awakening Institute.
Okay.
So get on that Facebook page and like it, if you would. That would be awesome. And I post things regularly about classes that I teach. So yeah. I do workshops, I do classes. That's a great way to connect with me. And some are free and some are for money. And, you know, frankly, I don't apologize for what I charge because, again, it's an energetic exchange. I know that I'm going to give you a great experience. And that's,
yeah. And honestly, what you get in a 5-week session for $300 is life-changing
is
and
life-changing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, this has been the Wonder Health Podcast and such a joy. And thank you so much for your light and what you're doing for this holy planet and all these lovely people on it. We love everyone and we want them to light up so they can feel good. This is your only life that you know right now.
Yeah. It's too short to go through it in pain.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.